This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And it's Tuesday, right after episode 4 of Michelle's season. We'll get into what we thought of this episode. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about what we did. Well, shoot. I mean, we did, I guess technically our weekend started on Wednesday. We were out in Minneapolis.
Yeah, a little earlier this week.
Yeah, too fucking early. We're out in Minneapolis for Caitlin Bristow's first stop on her Bride and Dirty tour. And woo! Holy okay, shit. Minneapolis, we see you.
Those just get wilder and wilder. KB is just such a boss. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Holy shit.
Like, those people.
2,000 just screaming women. Mm-hmm. Normally, I see that about like for you and like you guys, but like it hits a whole nother level with her. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, she's a rock star.
Yeah, she's got a fan base, one of the most loyal fan bases out there, and one of the funnest, like wildest fan bases out there. She's built herself a platform and, like I said, a fan base that's just so much fun. And I owe a lot to the Vinos. I always say that because, and then Caitlin actually brought it up. So unfortunately, I talked to Jay about this. I don't think those podcasts are going to be released just because, like, it's just too much going on. The audio is kind of messed up. We were playing games and it wouldn't come across well. So I don't think she's going to release any, but she mentioned on there that, you know, basically like I started my DJ career on her tour 2 years ago.
So I remember like Cleo and I chatted a little bit about it and I was like, you should just get Blake at like a Fisher Price DJ set.
Yeah. Back in the day. I know.
So at least he could just plug his phone in, but he could look like he knows what he's doing.
Even back then, I was kind of DJing. I wasn't exactly like, let's put it this way. The transitions were piss poor 2 years ago. So it was cool for them to, because Caitlin hasn't seen me since, neither has Cleo, any of those people seen me DJ since. So it was cool. I got to open the show, played a little bit of the intermission, and then I played kind of the closing three songs to close. So it was cool. Like, it felt very full circle for everything. The crowd was going nuts. It was fun. It was very, we were pouring wine and mouths. It was a good time. It was a good time. It always is. So shout out to all the Vinos out there. And
it was great seeing Becca again.
Becca.
I mean, we seem to be seeing her every weekend now.
I've seen her quite a bit. You're right. Yeah.
We'll see her this weekend.
I guess just two. Oh, yeah. We'll see her again this weekend. Oh, yeah, shit. We'll get into Ben's wedding because that's going to be quite the reunion for
I got to give the shout out to the bearded fella. I can't remember his name in the front row there, but like, you know, I think he brought his girl to the show. He was way more into the show than, like, most
of
the ladies.
So many people. Actually, I had a couple DMs of people being like, I know that guy, and like saying his name. Like, it was like Nate, maybe, or I can't remember.
Adam, something.
Yeah, something. But yeah, shout out. He was fucking front row, I think. Maybe front or second, third row. Just living it, man. There was about four dudes there, which pretty
living
average,
his
I guess.
Best life.
Yeah, it was fun. It was such a fun crowd. And I'd never been to Minneapolis. We're coming back for sure. We're going to do a show out there for sure because that crowd was so much on a Wednesday. It was a Wednesday and that crowd was nuts. So fun time, fun time. I flew from there down to Nashville, did a little art gallery with a friend of mine, put her, I guess, her art on in a gallery. I don't know how art, I'm not a big art guy, but it was amazing. It was so much fun. It was a really cool art show. And then we just hung out. I saw Jason, got to hang with Jay. It's always good.
Yeah, I saw that.
We actually got some like alone time. Cause just, you know, usually it's like people. We went to like just a super private like club where we just played golf. We just played on a golf simulator for like 3 hours and drank. So it was cool to catch up with him. We worked out together and just catch up because we never get to really talk, sit down and talk. So that was fun.
I got to take in a couple shows and got rowdy with another Bachelor alumni. Yeah. So a lot of people I don't know realize that Granger Smith's brother had a short stint on the show as well. Tyler. No, he was two or three weeks.
I wanted to go, but I was so fucking exhausted. I ended up pushing my flight back and everything from Nashville on Saturday. So I didn't get home till like six on Saturday. So I was exhausted, couldn't make it, but it looked like fun. Granger always throws a freaking show. Yeah.
That was wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Granger's a good
two
time.
Wild nights at the Rose.
Yeah. I mean, and the Rose. Yeah, exactly. So, and well, dude, I haven't been to the Rose in a minute, man. I need to go.
Yeah. I felt like I was like so out of place. I was like, man, I haven't been here probably like over a year.
Over a year. Yeah. We've been there. We went on like a random Thursday night once.
Yeah. I mean, I popped in here and there like 2 or 3 months ago, but yeah, nothing.
No, it's been forever, man. So I need to get back out there. Fuck. We're not able to. We're so fucking busy usually that we can't.
Well, I'll be back out there in a couple of weeks. Day after Thanksgiving, Matt Stell has a show there. He's playing.
Oh, yeah? Black Friday?
That'll be a good show. Yeah. It'll be an interesting crowd. Hopefully, they'll come out.
Yeah.
Interesting night for a show.
Black Friday goes hard because everybody's home for the holidays. So, it goes hard. Black Friday goes hard. And
I need to talk to Matt because it seems like he's just doing like a reality TV show tour, like going through like these – some of the ladies on the shows. So I saw him on a commercial like for the Bradshaw show, like talking to Rachel. They're I was like, yeah, this guy on a plane. I was like, that's fucking Matt, what are you doing?
What? I didn't know that. That's fucking funny. Oh my God, that's funny. And then this weekend
should be fun.
This has been circled on the calendar for a long time. Ben Higgins' wedding. Him and Jess are finally tying the knot. Three years engagement. 2 years because they postponed.
They should have been married this time last year.
Last year. Yeah, but COVID. Yeah. So they postponed. So this is a long time coming and it's going to be fun. I just went and bought my suit today. Got a fire suit. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be interesting. Quite the reunion. Dude, I've talked to a lot of people. There's so many people going. It's going to be a huge wedding.
Yeah.
People at my gym are going. Like, I didn't even know he was that close. Yeah, to three people from my gym.
Who?
I was like, I don't know their names. Okay. I mean, I do know their names, but like I didn't know they were that close because they're like, what are you doing? So I'm in Nashville. They're like, me too. And I'm like, you going for Ben Higgins' wedding? They're like, yeah. I was like, what? Okay. So I used to be a huge wedding, dude. Wedding.
Yeah.
I have about three exes going, I think. Yeah. Four exes.
Bigger news. You and your exes or you and Nick Vial again? Let's what's gonna
I hope I am
seated weekend.
With Becca and Nick and Caitlin.
Well, there is no seating. To my knowledge, I don't think it's very Ben. Like I love how Ben does it. Like I think it's like open, just food trucks, bars all over the place, like open field. It's supposed to be fucking freezing too Saturday.
Is it really? So, I haven't even looked.
I think it's 48 degrees.
Oh no.
So it's gonna be a little chilly.
I'm gonna bring a jacket for sure, peacoat for sure.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any pressure of like seating charts and
Which I think more weddings are headed that direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a blast. It's gonna be fun to see a lot of people. I mean, Jared and Ashley are gonna be there. Yeah. I look forward to seeing Jared.
Dean,
I'm sure there's gonna be other.
It'll be great to see Dean.
Dean, it'll be a lot. I mean, people probably aren't even thinking about too that are gonna be there.
Yeah,
you know. So, and all the people that went to the bachelor party. I can't wait to see how those guys are going to.
Oh, yeah, all the boys. Yeah.
All the boys, all of his hometown friends and stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast. Anything else I'm missing here? I'm just going to go ahead and kind of say this, announce this a little bit. So I know I said, and I'll post this on my Instagram today. I know I said I was doing the Charlotte Bride and Dirty, Caitlin's Tour, and the Nashville. I will not be making those two stops, unfortunately, guys. I got something else in the works. So I wasn't able to make that. So I'm going to put it on my Instagram too. But yeah, I'm sorry. I know a lot of people are looking forward to it. I got a ton of DMs about Charlotte, especially because I've never been there.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to make it. So I apologize so, so, so much. It's a real bummer. But I'll post it on my Instagram too so people can see that because I don't want people showing up thinking I'm DJing. And then...
But good news for some people, I might make an appearance. I'll have nothing to fucking do.
At which one? So, Nashville?
Probably, I don't know, maybe both.
That's true because you're not going to Chicago now.
I mean, I got my boy, if the Panthers have a game in Charlotte, I'll go see my boy McCaffrey down there. Catch
I wonder
the game.
I wonder who the guest is going to be for Charlotte. I know who the one in Nashville is, but I don't want to say because they haven't announced it yet.
Yeah.
It's a really great one. It would have been such a fun podcast. God, it would have been so fun.
Well, they're doing back-to-back weekends in Nashville, right?
Mm-hmm. I know who was the second one, the 12th that I was supposed to do. Yeah. She's great.
We'll be right back.
All right, let's get in this episode. I don't know, man. I love Michelle so much, but man, these episodes, they're just not doing it for me. Dude, is it the guys? Am I just not like invested? What do you think about the season so far?
I don't know. I'm trying to put my thoughts together here. Cause yeah, it's kind of boring. It's like, man, it's got to pick up here soon. Right.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know why. Like,
I like some of the guys. Some of the guys are great.
Yeah. But I'm not invested. I don't know, man. I don't know what it is. That's the thing. I agree with you. I can't put my thoughts into words because it's like they haven't done anything wrong. Nothing different. Michelle's great. I don't know why I'm just not like, maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm fucking burnt out, man. It's been like four seasons in a row without a, maybe that's what it is, dude. Maybe I'm just burnt out on Bachelor and it's not stopping anytime soon.
Oh, I know.
Two more seasons back to back. Maybe that's what it is, man. Maybe that's what it is. Now that I think about it. But yeah, I mean, this episode kind of starts out with Caitlin and Michelle chatting about kind of what happened last week. Gauging. I love the and Tayshia's great at this too. Tayshia and Caitlin, the mentor kind of role they've kind of found themselves in. And I think they do a great job. And I think it's helping the lead.
But not host.
No. Well, I feel like she's a host. They're a fucking host now. But yeah.
As she they were clarified told, it, yeah. Not host.
They weren't air quotes. The host. Because then they'd have to pay them.
Yes, host money.
Salary. So they are not the host. They are mentors.
Bump. Big,
yeah,
big
they
bump.
Are mentors, fuckers. Got ABC. But yeah, so I just like that dynamic. I think it's helping the Bachelor a lot. I mean, I know Chris did that a little bit here and there, but it seems like every episode they're having, even a couple times, like I think twice, maybe three
like
times.
Like even in
episode.
The middle of the date, like you're just checking in. Like,
yeah. So it's cool
she's
to
rattled.
See. I like it a lot. So this episode, we get two one-on-ones and a group date. Mm-hmm. So I switched it up a little bit. And the first one-on-one, and did this come out of the blue for you?
What, Martin?
Yeah.
Well, I think you could kind of see it coming because he did kind of, he has been there for her recently.
Mm-hmm. You're right. They had that really good moment last episode.
Like before the Top Gun.
Are you okay? Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like he checked in on her.
I like Martin.
I do too, until he kind of put his foot in the mouth here during this date. Like
he did
Jamie a bit.
So we'll get into the night port, or that was the day portion. So they went racing, right? So they went, which looks like so much drifting.
Yeah, racing and drifting. Oh, yeah.
So much fun. So the only reason I don't see, dude, vibing wise, I see people who don't take themselves very seriously and are competitive and like funny. I feel like there were so many moments during this date where Martin could have been like, I'm going to beat your ass. Like, I'm going to take no mercy and like have fun with it. But he seemed so uptight the whole day.
Well, and he couldn't get the point of how to drift anyway. Cause like Michelle was almost like, what is he doing? Over there?
And he wasn't
like,
making spinning fun of in himself, circles. You know? Yeah. There was a lot of moments where I was like, she missed, you know?
Yeah, he had no fun with it at all.
It seemed like he was so uptight and so worried. He was trying to be too smooth. So yeah, I mean, it was still, it looked like fun. She had fun.
Oh, yeah.
She was drifting and stuff.
It seems like she has a good time in everything she does.
Yeah. Agreed. And then, so they go into a hot tub, of course. And this is what's interesting to me because Martin, I saw what he was trying to say, but he did not do a good job of it.
Well, his words when he said Jamie is a hell of a man and her face was just like, what?
Yeah, but see, this is what he should have expressed more was he's not seeing what we're seeing. He's not seeing what she's seeing. He only saw the man in the house. So maybe he was awesome in the house. You know what I mean? So that's what I think he should have expressed more like, hey, because like, Michelle probably watching it back now was like, oh shit, Jamie lied this, lied there, fucked up there that we saw. She probably didn't even know until it aired. So that's, I wish he would have expressed that a bit more, been like, listen, the guy I saw in the house, because I'll never forget, man. You know how many questions I got about Garrett after the likes on social media and stuff came out and everybody was questioning, like, what did you think of Garrett? My answer was always, that's not the Garrett I knew in the house. you know, that's not what I present, you know, he presented to us. That's not the man I know. So I guess, you know, moving forward, we'll see. Like, that was always what I would say. And I think that's what he was trying to say, but it did not come off good, dude. And Michelle's demeanor just fucking changed.
Yeah.
She was just like, interesting. She almost got defensive. Like, I thought she got a little defensive. Because there was a moment she was like, well, it's, you know, are you second guessing my decision? Like, I think she said something to that effect. And Martin was like, oh, I fucked up. So.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be like a lot of questioning herself going on, like, yeah, amongst all the guys every episode and every date almost.
It's interesting. So I'm glad you said that, because I was going to talk about it a little later, but she's almost getting a I'm not confident edit. Like, I feel like her narrative is almost like, I'm not a confident woman, which is weird. Because she comes off and can command her room incredibly well, but it seems like she's always like, are the guys even into me?
But I think that goes to her.
The guys are questioning my character.
I think that goes to her poem and stuff. Like, she clearly has like some probably mental hurdles somewhere.
Yeah, I think
she's got some. And it definitely is coming out.
Mm-hmm. I think she's got some insecurities, because she talked about how she was kind of a bit of an ugly duckling growing up, but how she was only worried about sports. She didn't really have a boyfriend in high school. So I think there's some insecurities that are coming out, and I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing, but it's just interesting, because it does seem like, wait, what's going, like, she just seems always like, do the guys even like me? Yeah. Are they even second guessing my decisions?
And that really shows in the
later in the episode,
the group date, the next group date with the slumber party, where she's just like, not feeling like she's being seen at all.
Yeah. So we can jump into that. So Martin got the group date, Rose.
The one-on-one.
The one-on-one.
And like, big props to Martin too. Like, his vulnerability and speaking out about how he struggles with communication and showing his emotions with how he was brought up, which is completely opposite of how she was. And like, if there is no communication amongst your family, like, I didn't have that growing up. There was no like words of encouragement or acknowledgement or like openly speaking about your feelings. So I struggle with that. Where you are, like, I know your background, like, you have a great family. You guys are fucking all open books.
Now,
yeah.
The show helped a lot, honestly.
And so does alcohol with your family. Oh, boy.
I talked about that because you're right. It does take a lot. And it takes a lot to talk about your family. Like, I mean, even if here on the podcast, you know, for you, like, imagine doing it on national television. You know what I mean? Like, it's very hard, you guys. Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to formulate a sentence. I'd cry the whole time.
Dude, I had, going into my hometowns where I talked about my parents' divorce and everything, I had so much anxiety, because it's hard. Putting yourself out there is one thing, but talking about your family and putting them out there is another. And there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress about it. So it takes a lot to do that. Because I talked about how my family there for a while, we brushed things under the rug. We wouldn't really talk about things, but being on the show helped us. So yeah, you're right. It was, shout out to Martin. Cool conversation, and one that needed to be had for sure. And explains a lot about Martin, I think. And I think Michelle's getting to know him more.
And I think that explained a lot about maybe like his having Jamie's back earlier in the day. Cause like, he was open. Like, I don't know how to like convey my words. My delivery isn't the greatest all the time.
Yep. Which I definitely wasn't in that hot tub.
Yeah.
For sure. I could see what he was trying to get to, but I was like, well, wait, what? So he gets the one-on-one rose. So he's safe for the week, which is cool. Let's get into this group date, man. Cause this is an interesting group date. Again, another competition group date, which is fine, but it was also another group date. This has like become a theme, I feel like, the last few seasons, where the winning team gets to see Michelle and the losing team has to go home and doesn't get the night portion of the date. So they obviously don't get as much time as the other guys. So these guys were super competitive. They made some teddy bears.
Yeah, Build-A-Bear, Twister.
Huge teddy bears. Huh? Yeah. I was actually a fun date.
Of course, snacks. I love like a giant
teddy bear. Yeah. But the whole theme kind of throughout the date, guys, was, and this happens. This happens where the bros bro out, and they're having fun. And it kind of happens always about this time. I'll never forget when we were in Virginia. This is about third or fourth week. You get really comfortable with each other and you do become friends. You become friends and you do just kind of want to chill out with the boys. And Michelle was hurt. She's like, nobody, why? Like, at one point she even looked at Bruce, was like, why the fuck am I here?
Yeah.
Like, what am I even here for? Because they were just broing out the whole time. And
yeah, you got Nate over there just chilling with his bear. Not one person said even acknowledged she was in the room.
Dude, at one point, Clayton like punched that dude in the stomach because they were bored. Like, what was that?
And that's a hell of a nickname too. Swolu Olu. That dude, it is swole.
He is swole.
Yeah, it like, dude, he took, Clayton's a massive human being, and he took that punch like it was nothing.
Dude, and he took it high. Yeah. Like another 3 inches right higher, he breaks his sternum, bro.
Yeah.
He like, punched him in the stomach, Clayton. Fuck. Yeah. Knocked him out. Yeah. I don't know. It was just funny seeing the guys bro out. Like, yeah, it was just, and Michelle's like, the fuck is going, I'm the bachelorette, you know? Like,
and it wasn't like a bad bro out. They were just having fun.
No, they were just having fun, yeah. But literally, she's like, at one point, she was like calling guys over, like, Clayton, come here. Yeah. Like, come here.
And he was like, who, me?
Yeah.
Wow. What do you want me to talk to me for?
Oh, man. Yeah. So then, like I said, that does happen on occasion because you do become really good friends and you're just having fun. So well, the whole,
you kind of have to in that atmosphere too, yeah, right? Because you spend 24/7 together.
Yeah, yeah, 100%, man. And it does become kind of weird where it's like, you don't want to grab her to piss off the, because you are friends now. So it's like, you know, it becomes this weird thing of like, I don't want to be that, you know, the dick who grabs her and when the other guys, and it's a weird, very weird dynamic, guys, all the way through, up and down.
I feel like that's been more present on this season, noticing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because most other seasons, you'll have that one or two guys that like, always, yes, getting vibing for her attention. But here it's like, yeah, no one wants to take that first step forward to like be like that masculine one that's like, I'm going to go get my girl right now.
We don't really have that villain, quote unquote, if you will, because there's always that, like Demi was that.
That's kind of weird.
Jordan was that on my season.
That's really considered a villain. Like,
it is by the other people in the house. It is for the other people in the house. Like, remember when that one girl saw Colton like 5 times in the same night or whatever? Like, she's a villain. You know what I mean? Like, it is. Yeah. It is considered a villain.
Wasn't that Demi or no?
No, she went home that night. One, like, I don't remember her name. But yeah. So the whole point of this date, though, then is they have like a pillow fight with the teddy bears.
Yeah.
Competition and the winning team. It's blue versus red, and the winning team gets to see Michelle the rest of the night. Dude, there was some of these dudes took some fucking hits, man. Clayton's just a huge human being. Swolo Olo's huge. All these dudes, some of these dudes are giant, man. Did Nate lose?
Will went in on Nate.
Yeah.
He embarrassed Nate.
Nate's a big guy.
Yeah.
He did terrible during the basketball date. Did terrible during this. Is this guy athletic? Like,
all? How does a 6'8" dude miss a layup?
It's like Michelle, like she's this athlete, and then Nate looks like one. It's like, is he? Like, I don't know if he is or not. It's kind of funny. No offense, Nate.
Yeah, none at all. But that's waste of height.
Yeah, dude, give me some of that. Yeah, those inches. Clayton, it kind of ended. So I guess the big thing was against, wasn't it Olo and? That was the last.
No, one. It was.
The finale.
Was it Chris? No.
Was it Chris? No, I can't remember now. Fuck. But it came down to like the big one at the end. No, it was the little guy. It was the little guy. They were
Brandon.
Like a 14-year-old. Yeah.
My guy, Brandon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were like, he looks like built like a 14-year-old. Yeah. They were, it was pretty funny. They were like, he's built like a 14-year-old. And they said, somebody else is built like a toothpick or whatever. But can we talk about when Swolo Olo takes his shirt off and Caitlin, Tayshia, and Michelle's head all fucking.
They're break. A little, yeah. They're a little verklempt, if
all
you will.
All three of them fucking their necks are like. So that was pretty funny. But so this red team ends up winning, you know, they go down to the night portion of the date. Dude, what happened in the night portion? I can't even remember.
I mean, she pretty much addresses the group and explains to her.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I want to feel seen, right? She kept saying that. It's like the theme.
And
she
wants her effort to be reciprocated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like, I'm putting in all the work and you guys aren't. I want to feel seen. I don't feel seen right now. So literally every guy pulls her and makes sure she's seen. She is seen. Like,
but Olu,
over the top.
I feel like Olu is like the hero of this night portion because that really hit him hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was like crying.
The story of his sisters and
he got emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got very emotional, which is cool to see. I mean, we love a Jack dude who can get emotional.
Well, and I think it's because like he saw that with his sisters. He explained like he's wanted to make sure that he heard her, he understands her, and he does see her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And she even came back to the group and said, I want to thank you guys because I do now feel seen. So it was cool. And the group date rose.
Sometimes it's not the worst thing to do to tell your man what you want sometimes either. Like if we don't notice something,
yeah, that should be a practice. Like that should be what you do. Yeah. 100%.
Yes.
99% of the time, we don't know you're upset or we don't know what you want.
We're not mind readers.
No.
Like, if you're upset at us, tell us.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll fix it.
Yeah. Who got the group date rose again? Was it
Olu?
Was it Olu? Yeah, so I thought. Yeah. Okay. So Olu gets group date rose, which is, I think, is his first.
What's his first rose?
Yeah, his first rose.
It's the first one that Brandon hasn't gotten.
Yeah, Brandon keeps getting those group date roses. So that was cool to see. Olu gets it. And then we go on to the second 101, which is Rick. I like Rick. He seems like, even before this date, I was a Rick fan. He seems very laid back and chill. He hasn't really gotten in any drama. He's kind of just been like doing his own thing and worrying about Michelle, which is always the right strategy.
And he's brought in the conflict to her in a positive way.
Yeah.
As well. Like,
yeah. No, he's done a good
job. Like when he called out Jamie.
That's right.
Like it wasn't drama filled. Like he did it appropriately and, mm-hmm, you know, with taste.
And needed it to be done. Like it needed to be done kind of thing, not out of nowhere. So yeah, I think he's done a great job. Yeah. With, you know, with not only the conversation he's had with the men, but obviously Michelle. So they go on this date, they ride a gondola up to the top of this mountain. Gorgeous. I mean, that looked amazing. And then they were writing down wishes, right? Was it wishes? Is that what it was? Yeah, it was wishes.
Yeah, it was like,
right?
A wish box they found.
A wish box.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the wish they pull out of the box is, I wish my father could see the person I've become.
Mm-hmm.
Trigger, like, Rick lost his father, what do you say, 3 years ago? 3 years before, you know. That's intense. And listen, do I think maybe that was the only wish in that box? Probably. Like, I think this was probably a plant by producers.
Well, they opened like 4 or 5 wishes. That was the last one.
Oh, okay. So obviously this was a conversation that was going to be had. But man, I could see instantly in Rick's face, like, whoa, that was intense. We obviously, you know, talk about it more at the night portion, but he seems like a great guy. He just seems like a great guy, humble, and somebody who I think Michelle, we talked about a little bit. There's these certain people that just relax her and there's no drama and she can just have a good time and escape with, because obviously it's very stressful for the lead. And I think he's one of them.
Does he kind of remind you at all of what Zach was in Tayshia's season?
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah, that's a good comparison. I'm trying to remember like Zach. I just remember like the end.
Cause Zach was just like so chill, blue collar. Like, yeah, I'm just here. I make my time worth it whenever I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll see me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not worried or jealous. And
yeah, the only thing difference is I think Zach and Tayshia's was way more intense of a connection. But maybe Michelle and Rick will get there. Obviously, mm-hmm. It's so early.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, they go into the night portion of the state, and that's where he tells a story about his father and
their relationship. Like, yeah. Wow.
And then, it was very intense. Michelle handled it very well. There were some tears from both. I can't really sit here and talk about this and what he's feeling, what he's going through, because I've never really obviously been in that situation. I've never lost. Honestly, I've been lucky enough to never really lose even grandparents yet. So I just can't compare. Like I can't talk about too much. Yeah.
And I couldn't even imagine just like what kind of courage that takes to go to your mom and say, hey, dad's cheating on you.
Mm-hmm. Super intense.
Like, wow.
Yeah. Very, very, very hard. He's just like, I'm trying to catch. Oh, dude, yeah, that whole story where he was like, I'm just trying to catch my breath. Like, oh.
Some things are just not meant to really probably be just spoken on. Like,
yeah. But so that's
it's not our place to do that, like whatsoever.
And listen, I want, because I know I saw some, you know, comments out there and everything, or, you know, there will be a lot out there. Why do certain people talk about certain things on the show? You know, why are people talking about incredibly traumatic events? And this is what I always say, because I get asked all the time, like, why did you talk about your family? Why did you talk about the school shooting? Why did you blah, blah, blah? And not only, obviously, I've talked about the environment, super intense. You need to talk about these things. But this is a woman you think you might get engaged with, you know, in a few weeks, like in 2 months. So it is everything on the table. This is who I am. This is why I am who I am. And, you know, and this is my family, and these are my, this is my baggage, if you will. So that is why these intense conversations happen. I know people are like, this is inappropriate. There are certain conversations you don't have. Bullshit. Those are conversations you have with your future wife. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the you can't judge these men and women on The Bachelor for telling stories like that, because
especially because like
have in, that conversation
in real life, you know, yeah, you'd get to that at some point, like exactly. 4 or 5 dates down, but you don't have that time on a show. And that lead is looking for you to be vulnerable. And, you know, because they have a choice to make in a matter of weeks, not months.
Yeah. And they're not going to be able to know who you are unless you do that. Otherwise, you're honestly, you're almost lying. Like, you're almost not being honest with them.
Yeah.
They think you're one person, but they don't really know you. So, yeah, I mean, it's very important to have those conversations. So you can't judge people for having and opening up almost too much at times, because I mean,
you got to let people know what has molded you to become the man that you are, a woman you are today.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it was great.
We all have a story.
It was an important, yes, exactly. Amen. It's an important conversation. And then Rick goes on to basically say he's falling in love with Rochelle. I would not have guessed Rick was going to be the first person to say it, more or less.
Do you think sometimes like you're just wrapped up in that moment, or like off the heaviness of emotions you just shared, and like, oh my God, I just told a woman I said this, or I just shared this with her. She's special.
So yes. And not only is it that you're wrapped up in the emotions and you know, that the environment and everything, but also he may not get another chance for weeks. So it's, I will never forget when I was in Vegas, when I told Becca I was falling in love with her. I remember I was falling in love with her, but I didn't want to tell her because I thought it was going to scare her. And my producer was like, listen, I know it seems crazy and fast, but if you're feeling it, you need to tell her now. You cannot wait next week. There may not be next week. So it's like, shit, you're right. Yeah. So when you're feeling it, you say it. And I think he was feeling it and he did say it. And even Michelle was like, I did not expect that. Yeah. Like, she was like, well, okay. Okay, Rick.
You're pretty much doing everything opposite than real life.
Yes, exactly. 100%. In real life, if you told me you followed me for 4 weeks back, you're crazy.
See ya.
This is your weird. Number. Yeah. So,
Stage 5 clinker.
Yeah. 100%, man. So it is, it's a different environment, man. And of course he gets the rose. Seems the whole time he's saying all these things, she is just fucking smitten. The like smile she has and the way she's looking at him, I'm like, whoa, okay. Like, she is feeling Rick, man. She is feeling Rick. And I'm feeling him too, man. I'm feeling him. I think he might sneak into the top 4, dude. He might.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to, at the end of this, I want to get your top 5 current predictions.
Okay. All right. We're gonna so, share these. Yeah, we'll talk about that. So Rick, it's the 101 rose, not a surprise. So let's get into this. I actually got a lot to say about this cocktail party, man. I swear every week there's a different guy who fucking all of a sudden pops up.
Well, it just seems like all the drama comes at the fucking cocktail party.
Yeah, every single season. One, it seems like. You're right. This season, you're right. Every fucking one. So the drama this episode of this cocktail party for the rose ceremony is Chris S. This seems so out of the
blue. Why would you even steal her moment?
Dude, it seems so out of the blue to me. Like, I don't even, what was he even trying to say? I mean, obviously he brought out Nate and was like, listen, Nate thinks he's got this in the bag or whatever. And he said, you know,
I don't think he knows what he was trying to say. Cause when he was confronted, he couldn't say anything.
Oh yeah. Well, when he was confronted by Nate.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't think he knows what he's still trying to say.
No.
I think he was just creating.
I don't even know. How did it come up? Like, I'm trying to think back. How did it even come up? Like, it just came out of, I feel like it came out of nowhere.
Oh, it was because he was hearing the rumblings in the house of that group date that she wasn't being seen.
You're right. And he said basically he's not surprised or whatever that somebody's got. Okay. But the one guy he zeroed in on was Nate, saying like Nate said, you know, he didn't get the group or the one-on-one. He said he wasn't worried.
Yeah.
And which, you know, that is completely normal.
Yeah.
That is completely normal. Listen,
it's good to be confident.
Yes. And he can be. Like there's certain guys in that house that cannot be confident. Nate got the first impression of those guys. He could be as confident as he fucking wants.
I mean, he won the hat trick that first night.
Yeah. Yeah. That, if anything, he could be the one of the most confident week four guys of all time. Like he's had great conversations.
Yeah. I mean, they've ran away. They have a connection.
And that's what I want to get at. Cause I was so frustrated. Cause it's like, this isn't a big deal.
Total desperation move on Chris's part there.
But I didn't even like the way Michelle like kind of went at him. Like, oh, you think you got this in the bag? Listen, he's confident. He's confident in your relationship. He's not being cocky. I'm a badass. He's like being, I'm confident in who we are.
Yeah, I don't get cockiness from him at all.
Me neither. I think he's just so confident with that. And that is perfectly normal. And I've said this before. People know, guys. People know pretty early who the top four are going to be. And everybody in that house knows Nate's going top four. Nate is hometown material. And and he knows that. You know, I was never worried that I wasn't going to get a rose until the very end. To go to the Bahamas. I got the last rose. And I walked into the whatever ITM and the producer was like, were you worried you're not getting a rose? I was like, no. Like, I knew I was getting a rose. And that's what I knew what my relationship with Becca was. So this was blown out of proportion. Chris S., I don't know what he was like. I just think you're right. It was a fucking Hail Mary. He's frustrated because he doesn't feel as strongly about his relationship with Michelle as Nate does.
If anyone's cocky, it's that little fucker. He's so arrogant about all this, man. When I get that rose, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to point to Olu.
I wish you would have, dude. I wish you would have been so savage.
It would have been savage move.
He just points and fucking winks. Oh, I would have been savage as fuck, dude. I wanted him to do it. And Olu would have.
That asshole tightened up real quick.
Yeah. I wanted him to do it so bad, but he didn't. But he did. I wasn't. So obviously, you know, she then confronts Nate about the whole thing. And I thought he handled it well. He didn't get but he didn't get defensive. I don't think he was. Yeah. He was just kind of like, okay.
Well, that's his confidence.
Yeah. And he was like, okay. Yeah, exactly. He was like, I hear you. My bad. Like, that's not how I feel. I don't want you to think that's how I feel. I have this in the bag. That's your prize to win, blah, blah, blah. So then he goes to confront Chris. And yeah, Chris was babbling. He was kind of confused on what he said. He just kept saying like, are you done? Are we finished? Are we finished?
He said nothing.
Started walking away. Yeah. I don't think he did know what to say. Like, I genuinely think he was like, I fucked up, you know? And he was like, he started out me being like, I didn't mean to, you know, single you out, man. And I'm just thinking about Michelle. It's like, no, you're not. You did single him out. You meant to. And you're thinking about the other guys and talking about the other guys to Michelle. It's like, I don't know, man. He was spinning, doing some donuts.
I just don't understand. Is that a producer thing you think at this point? Because how do guys or females at this point not know you don't do that, right? Like,
talk to the lead about.
Yeah, like.
I mean,
this show has been around long enough. It's like, you should know, like, that's number one no-no, probably. Like,
yeah, and honestly, yeah, I guarantee you. So this is what happens with these producers, too, when it comes to things like this. This isn't like a suddenly the producer's like, hey, you should go. They've been talking about it probably all week. All week. They sat down on ITM, and the producer hinted at, what do you think about Nate, like, reacting the way he did when he didn't get the one-on-one? Like, it's kind of cocky, don't you think? And he was like, yeah. And they just build it until you're right at the boiling point. And then they send you into Michelle and they say, go talk to Michelle about Nate. Yeah, 100%. But it's not like they were like, they didn't say, you know, like, you have to. It was like, they're so good at their job. They'll feed you until you, all of a sudden you think it's your idea.
Do you think they manipulate the situation where it's like, okay, Chris was probably going to go home that roast ceremony, but they're like, hey, you bring this up, we might keep you around and tell Michelle, like, hey, we'll get you one more week here, bud. Mm-hmm.
So good question. And I don't know if they, I've heard that they actually literally do say that to some people. Like, hey, if you do this, we'll keep you around another week. It didn't never happen to me. I never even saw it actually happen, but I've heard that. So I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe like,
cause it does always seem like it's the guys on the bubble who create drama.
Yeah. But I will say again, you guys, the lead, Michelle, is only seeing what she sees. Like, she's not seeing what we're seeing. So she doesn't know that Chris, maybe she thought Chris was doing the right thing, you know, by coming to her. So I wasn't shocked he got the rose. I was pretty sure he was going to get the rose.
I was shocked.
Were you?
Because Will went home, and I thought Will was going to stick around for a little bit longer.
I did too. I thought Will was going to stick around too, but I yeah. I mean, but I did not see Chris going home. Cause like I said, she saw like, hey, this guy's looking out for me, you know? Yeah. So Chris is, who ends up going home tonight this week?
Romeo, Will, and Chris G.
Dude, I feel like we did not get to see enough of Romeo. Dude seems fun and interesting. He's like,
just seemed like a sharp dude.
Yeah. Is he like a brain?
Wall Street financial guy? IT?
Yeah. Something super impressive. I feel like he robbed of some Romeo screen time, but I feel like he might be in. Dude, I just thought about this. Paradise next year is gonna be nuts.
Yeah.
One group of guys. Dang. It's gonna be a lot of girls because we have two bachelor seasons.
Yeah, because Katie's season was on the beach. That's right.
Yeah. So we're gonna interesting. They're not gonna have abundance of women and not enough guys.
So will we see you there then? I'm kidding.
Preview. Before I get into the preview, again, another episode, zero Clayton. What the fuck is going on? Dude, what the fuck is going on? How is this man our bachelor?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
What? They must be saving something really big in the next week or two, right?
Like, dude, or they're protecting him. I don't know. Like, it's bizarre. I am 0% invested in Clayton right now in his love story and just him. Seems like a great guy. Listen, seems nice. The guys like him.
Yeah. He wouldn't even be in my top five.
No, dude, I know. And I thought he's got to make hometowns, right?
He's got to be top 3-4. Has to be.
So bizarre, man. And then going into the preview, he doesn't get a date next week. Like, what the fuck is going on, man? His season starts in like a month.
He must have paid ABC a lot of money to be on this show.
Like, I am so shook right now. I don't know. What the fuck? Like, I could understand some of these other guys have gotten screen time, but man, it's just bizarre to me. Because it looks like next week, Nate gets his one-on-one and Joe gets his one-on-one. And then there's a group date. That's what it looked like from the preview. And I was like, what the hell is going on, man? So, yeah, maybe they got some crazy strategy moving, you know. I don't know, man.
He's got something on ABC and Purdue. He's got something.
Dude, I don't know.
It's just, it's weird.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess we'll keep our fingers crossed to get some screen time of Clayton so that we can at least root for him here in a month. Because right now, I do not care.
That is definitely,
and that's no offense
to
Clayton. That's not his fault. I just am not invested in Clayton right now.
It's definitely not going to be the most dramatic season of The Bachelor ever with Clayton as the bachelor.
The one thing you need as a lead is the audience to want you to fall in love, to be invested. Hey, look, he got his heart broken, or hey, he's an awesome person. You want, like, you watch the show to watch that person find their person. And then right now I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
You have to have a personality to carry a show, a whole season.
Bizarre, man.
And keep people invested and interested.
I'm shook, man. So we'll see. Maybe in the coming weeks. But yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Because I have some sleepers I think are going to go far. Still,
right, you want me to go first then? All right.
Who you got top five?
So I got Nate, Joe, top two. Those are my top two right now. I have Leroy sneaking in, man. I have Leroy sneaking. Yeah, I know.
That's shocker.
My sleeper. I have Leroy sneaking in there. And then I have Rick.
Rick. So we see different on a couple.
Yeah, what do you see?
So my top three are Joe, Nate, and obviously Clayton, just because it has to happen. Mm-hmm. 100% Rodney, I think, is going for like top four.
Who?
And then I see 5, 6, like you could take either one of them. It's either going to be Rick or Brandon.
So you think Rodney's a sneak in there?
I think he is top four.
Really?
I do.
So I do too, but I think Rick sneaks in. I think Rick is in there.
Because I think five is either going to be Rick or Brandon for me.
Dude, I'm
because I've had Brandon since day one.
Dude, I'm
in that
top
five.
I'm starting to think five's Clayton, man.
Which is going to be really weird because it's like there would be nothing told about him going into his season if he doesn't.
And part of me though is like, are they downplaying his relationship with her because everybody knows he's not going to win? So why waste screen time on him?
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
It's kind of weird.
Astrology is, dude. I cannot figure it out, but
because there has to be a lot of film of him and her somewhere that's just edited out to save whatever it is for his.
Maybe they literally were like, we're not going to show Clayton because you guys know he doesn't win. So why waste screen time on him? So then all of a sudden he's a bachelor. I don't know. Yeah. Like weird. But we'll see. We'll see. So we got our top four. So we'll see how that plays out, man. It's kind of an interesting. Other than Joe and Nate, I think it's kind of up in the air. But I think Joe and Nate are pretty solid. 1-2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, solid 1-2. So. All right, cool. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Go like, subscribe, 5-star, all that kind of stuff. And we'll see you next week.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world-famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Behind the Rose.